All right, here we go, everybody. Zach Evanesh from ZachEvanesh.com, and we're here with Coach Mark Ripetoe from StartingStrength.com, which is just an amazing resource between the articles, the form that Coach Rip has put up there. It's just bar none one of my favorites, and it's a place that people have got to check out, and we're going to get more into that at the end of this call. But Coach Rip, thanks for taking the time to do this call.
Sure, Zach. Appreciate your having me on.
Great. So I want to, like we spoke about before, ask questions that most people tend to not connect with you about. A lot of people know you for your expertise in strength, although it obviously goes well beyond that. And one of the pressing questions that I want to ask you, and that actually a lot of people that read my blog, we've got a lot of athletic coaches that follow the blog and trying to implement a strength program. They value the strength, but they're basically getting, you know, kids that come in with absolutely no physical structure at all, you know, varsity athletes unable to do one pull-up or five or six push-ups, let alone do a proper deadlift with 135 pounds. So the question would be to you is, let's say we put you in that situation,
right,
and you had a weight room filled with athletes who were just weak as hell. What kind of foundational things would you be doing with these kids, high school athletes in the range of, I guess, 14 to 18? How would you build them up so that they could do the big lifts and derive benefit from them the right way?
Well, the obvious answer is you have them do the big lifts with light weights. Now, this is an interesting question, Zach. I've had a gym for 30 years.
Right.
I've owned this gym since 1984, and I've been in the health club business since 78. And during that period of time, I have I've worked with the general public primarily. Who's weak?
Right.
Obviously, one of the problems with the general public is that they're real general. And what we have had to do during that period of time is take people in, sell them a membership. And since I'm a moral individual in certain ways, I will always show all of these people how to squat, how to press, how to bench press, how to deadlift, and as soon as they can, I show them how to power clean. And by this, I mean everybody. Everybody learns the basic barbell movements at my gym. We have always done it that way. We've done it that way since the inception in 1984. So I have been responsible for most of my career, and most of my time has been spent in being responsible for taking untrained, weak people and turning them into whatever in the hell they decided they would like to become. Now, at the end of this process, we have obtained a lot of extremely strong guys. We've had competitive power lifters, a lot of competitive Olympic lifters come out of here. Contrary to popular opinion, I have coached the Olympic lifts for 25 years. And we have turned out quite a few extremely good competitive lifters out of here. But by the same token, we've sent a lot of kids to scholarship football programs that walked in the gym from baseline. So to answer your question, what do I do to get untrained people in shape? I make them strong. And in doing so, I make them more conditioned. Now, it's important to understand the relationship here between strength and conditioning. Strength is the foundation of all of the rest of that stuff. There's a list that Jim Cowley, the track coach down in Central Texas, developed many years ago that has about 10 components to it of athletic parameters that he considered to be extremely important to the development of an athlete. And I think you probably are familiar with that. It's strength, power, explosion, speed, balance, agility, a whole bunch of different types of things, some of them neuromuscular in origin, some of them architectural in origin in terms of strength. if you look at that list, all nine of the other attributes depend on strength.
Right.
In one way or another. Strength is the foundation of all of it. Strength is the foundation, therefore, of conditioning. So what I do when I first take an athlete in is I spend the first time, the first several months of their training, getting them strong. When I do that, I have improved their condition without even addressing the problem.
Right.
Later on, it's time to worry about specific conditioning. But if a kid comes in and he can't squat 75 pounds for a set of five, and he can't do a chin-up, and he can't press one of my 45-pound bars up over his head, what would you think we needed to address first, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to get him strong. So and in doing so, his ability to do work increases just by virtue of the fact that his ability to produce force increases. So we stay very basic. We have the tools here to load. I can load an untrained 55-year-old female's deadlift bar here to 30 pounds. And I've never seen my mother, 6 months before she died in 1997, could deadlift 75 pounds. I've never seen a woman so detrained that she couldn't do a deadlift I could load on this equipment. I don't need to load 135. I have the ability to scale this strength enough to whatever the ability of the athlete. So that's where we start. We start with the basics, of course, of the five lifts that we talk about in basic barbell training. And that is always our starting place. It should be everyone's starting place. Conditioning is wonderful. But conditioning doesn't make you strong. Conversely, strong does make you conditioned to a certain extent, especially at first, and especially since the acquisition of strength in and of itself improves all other athletic endeavor. I mean, the famous old saying is all other things being equal, the stronger athletes, the better athletes. That's just obvious.
Right.
And in relationship to its ability to influence power, this is a interestingly enough, overlooked thing amongst most Olympic weightlifting coaches. Who has the bigger deadlift, Zach? A guy with a 200-pound, let me rephrase my question. Who has the bigger clean, the athlete with a 200-pound deadlift or the athlete with a 500-pound deadlift?
Yeah, the stronger guy,
well,
obviously.
Duh, right? Yet, we want to pretend like that all we need to do for the Olympic lifts is work on the Olympic lifts.
Right.
And that basic strength exercises are assistance movements. And it's just, that hadn't gotten us very far at the international level. Bill Starr, who's written an article for us on our website, addresses this topic. And that article is currently available at startingstrength.com.
Yeah.
For anybody that would like to read that.
That's an awesome article. I actually sent that to the athletic director and department chair in the town here because, I mean, he really hit home by saying that was this big mistake. They started, the Americans were just working on technique. He said when truly it should have been we get technique up to a certain point and then we just keep getting them strong as all hell.
Of course. I mean, that's how they get beat all the time, because in Olympic weightlifting, just like in powerlifting, the guy that wins is not the guy with the best technique. He's the guy that got the most weight overhead.
Yeah.
And that always depends on strength. And it's a much neglected part of most American Olympic weightlifting coaches' training philosophy, and we paid dearly for it.
Talk about... Let's say we build up these younger athletes, or let's just say in general, because you said you train a lot of the general population.
That's primarily what any gym owner does, as you're well aware.
Yep.
People walk in. You don't have the method of selecting your team, as it were,
right?
Like a college strength and conditioning coach does. College strength and conditioning coaches, as a general rule, in my opinion, are quite often not very good at this. Because their recruiter has assembled their team for them, and they're already strong, or they wouldn't be there. A guy might very well not understand how to take a person, an athlete, from baseline up to intermediate or advanced in terms of their lifting if he's never really had to do it. I mean, we've got recruiters that are perfectly capable of finding kids that can walk in the weight room the first day and squat 315 for five.
Right.
They're out there. And that's who you want on your team. But it also means that perhaps if that's the only types of athletes you ever work with, like you would encounter at the D1 level,
yeah,
it may very well be that you really don't know very much about getting those athletes up to a 600-pound squat. And I would submit that any college D1 program that's using HIIT on hammer strength machines probably qualifies as one of those guys that doesn't really know what the hell's going on, you know, by virtue of the fact that he's obviously using the wrong tools.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not a big fan of the HIIT stuff either.
Well, it works for a short period of time, but everything does.
Right, absolutely.
Everything works for a little while for a novice, doesn't it? Everything. So that's how we... I'm writing an article about that right this minute.
Yeah, I speak, I guess, from the point of, you know, my training when I was a competitive athlete was based on the bodybuilding methods and sometimes the HIIT method, which had very poor carryover to my ability to compete. Basically, I looked the part, but did not perform the part.
Well,
is the best
and,
way to
and
say it.
Programs that rely on that type of training are really relying on the recruiter. They're
yeah.
relying on the genetics of the kids that the recruiter is sitting in front of them. And if you got a good recruiter, really makes the strength and conditioning coach look like he knows what the hell he's doing. When chances are he has no idea.
Yeah, I guess which could bring us like when we speak of conditioning and how you're talking about basically we're going to, you know, and I have that same philosophy. I want to get people strong as hell. That's the foundation of their pyramid, and that's going to improve their conditioning.
Sure.
But what do you do?
Once the strength gains slow down.
Yeah.
Then it's time to start focusing on some of the peripheral issues like conditioning and focusing on working at high glycolytic loads. This has traditionally been accomplished in the weight room as well. I mean, for decades, we have used high rep power clean, high rep power snatches.
Yep.
High rep clean and jerks. Oh, shit. Those are that's a lot of work. You know, you don't let your form break down, obviously, but you first learn how to do the work with good form, and then you take that good form down in weight and up in intensity until you produce an extremely challenging glycolytic metabolic problem.
What's high reps in your book, Coach Rip? How many reps roundabout?
I think that if you're doing 10 reps of a clean and jerk at 50% of your 1 RM with good form, with a flat back and correct technique with no pause between the reps, that you're approaching a near-death experience. And that's the kind of thing that strength coaches have been using for a long time. The same tools that we use to get them strong, we just lighten it up and increase the number of reps. Sleds can be dragged. Oh, my God, I just got a prowler in from these lunatics at Elite.
Yep.
A couple of weeks ago, we've been playing with that thing, and Satan invented that.
That's
a wonderful tool. It's a wonderful tool.
I don't think I've seen more kids throw up.
Sled.
It is, yeah.
It's crazy. I didn't believe it. Jim told me, look, you got to get one of these damn things.
Yeah.
They're different than a sled. I can't explain how, but they're just different than a sled. So I said, okay, hell, I got some money. I bought one a couple weeks ago. We got it in, and, you know, snowstorms interrupted us quite a bit. We had an unusual amount of snow for time, so it's kind of slowed everything down. But I got it out last night and was pushing it around. It's about the third time I'd worked on it. And
it's brutal.
It's brutal. It's a wonderful tool. It can be scaled to different levels of ability. We've got a pretty good athlete here, Greg Henderson, who was one of our kids that came out of our program and went down to Rice and was quarterback for them for 4 years. Henderson is a really crazy freak, people. He's, you know, he got a 38-inch vertical at 215. And, you know, he just, you know, benches, still benches mid-fours, squats about six. He's one of these people that you want on your college football team and that your recruiter specifically looks for, that would make anybody look good as a strength coach. So I don't claim to have really done more with Greg than just kind of show him how to do the lifts and just got out of his way. But he was pushing the Prowler the other night with 70 kilos on it at what for me would be a dead run for 40-yard sprints.
Yeah.
And the thing is just throwing a wake of sparks off the pavement. It's
holy.
Amazing how you could. So we could load him up to 90 kilos and actually have him do a little work on the thing, and it'd be. Look, this thing's it's quite a tool. So there's lots of different methods available for doing this type of conditioning. You can alternate sprints with pull-ups or deadlifts. People have been doing that a long time. We've got lots and lots of conditioning methods. The coach just needs to try to match the exercises that he's using for the conditioning with the task that the athlete is going to be faced with on the field.
Right.
The more functional that Metcon type stuff, the conditioning work does. I don't really like the word Metcon anymore, but the conditioning types of work that you that you're faced with on the field probably should direct the type of conditioning training you do off the field, so that it's much more applicable.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the there are a lot of coaches, sports coaches, that are really bad at understanding this. I mean, we've still got around here, we've still got football coaches that think that running a mile, having their kids run a mile, is somehow jogging the mile is applicable to to football. It's like it's 19.
That's a big problem. That's a big problem.
Big giant problem. I mean, it's more it's prevalent in some sports more than others. There's a lot of really hard-headed wrestling coaches.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hard-headed hockey coaches. We don't have any hockey down here, but I've heard stories. And guys that just want to do it like they had it done to them back when they were in school.
Sure, and yeah. We've got baseball pitchers that are told to run like 2 to 3 miles after a game to get rid of the lactic acid in their arms.
Isn't that bizarre?
It's crazy.
These people have so little understanding of the situation, and the understanding is available. Just ask somebody.
Right.
That would require them admitting they didn't know, and this seems to be the problem with lots and lots of coaches.
Yeah, it's. I mean, of course, you know, we could talk about this forever, but there's definitely.
We're making enemies rather than.
They'll be camping out on my front lawn soon. So let me ask you one last question, Coach Rip, just about the organizing. Let's say, are you real particular about, let's say you were to do those high rep clean and jerks, would you devote a full workout to conditioning? Do you not give a shit? Would you just hit them with a hard strength lift in the beginning and then maybe throw conditioning afterwards? Or do you prefer it to be a standalone workout? Or
no,
are you not that?
I don't think it needs to be a standalone workout. I think it can be worked in just as the schedule requires.
Right.
This varies sport to sport, of course, but I don't see any reason that you can't do your strength program and then follow it up with a brief heavy conditioning workout last 5 minutes. I mean, we've done it that way for decades, haven't we? I mean, it seems to work just fine. I don't think there's any reason, in other words, to separate the two events in time.
Right.
If the events are intelligently programmed and executed with attention paid to good technique. No, I don't think you have to do that. I think that it's just we have to have an understanding, though, of who it is that benefits from conditioning.
And how to do it.
And how to do it. You don't need to take a 15-year-old kid and run him through his basic five lifts. And then, in addition to that, load him up with a bunch of conditioning work because, A, he doesn't need it. Because getting stronger produces the improvement that you're looking for a kid at that novice level. Without any conditioning, he's going to obtain greater work capacity because his strength went up.
Yeah.
And more importantly, B, if you get a kid that's, I don't know if everybody has this problem, but I have a hard time getting these kids to eat.
Yeah, that's a serious problem.
Those little bastards want to have a Pop-Tart for breakfast if they even eat it, and then they want to go to lunch, and you know what they do to them at school, and then, by the time they get through with supper, they've only eaten 2,500 calories for the day, and you guys are wanting to at school are wanting them to do all of their badly executed strength exercises and then go out and run 2 miles and then run some sprints on top of all that. You are just setting up a recipe for failure because you will overtrain even kids that age. You'll overtrain them.
Yeah,
they
just
get recovered. You have to remember that they're not eating. You'll get more out of a kid if you just have him do a strength program and absolutely no conditioning than you will with the best strength program and the best conditioning program you can put together. Because the conditioning program is not necessary for a rank novice. His conditioning improves with his strength. And so you've got to be careful about training a whole room of kids exactly the same way. And I know it makes it difficult. One of the biggest challenges at the school level, in the public school level, precisely, is that you have a 50-minute period of time to train 40 kids. You've got a limited amount of equipment. And you think you need to get all this other stuff done. See? And the fact of the matter is that some of those kids in that room just need to be strength trained. Some of the kids in that room, depending on how long, if you've got a mixed group of seniors, juniors, and sophomores, you've got a wide range of athletic development in there, and everybody cannot do the same program. It's a fundamental misunderstanding of human adaptation. So it's a big challenge. I understand that you've got problems with a 50-minute period and a whole bunch of kids sitting there blinking at you, wondering what they're going to have to do next. But I would always default to the side of simplicity and strength.
Yeah.
As opposed to getting fancy with a bunch of conditioning. Because for even more advanced athletes, less conditioning probably is better than more conditioning if the strength base is there.
We're from the same tribe, from the tribe of Jim Wendler.
He's the man.
That guy too funny. Well, Coach.
Speaking of Wendler, let me tell you real quickly about a deal we've got coming
Absolutely.
Up. We're starting very shortly an interview series, a starting strength series of video interviews. We are bringing people here to the lovely town of Wichita Falls here in North Texas, and we're going to sit down and talk to some important people on camera with interviews that we're going to do at length, long format, hour and 15-minute, hour 20-minute interviews with people you would know. And I'm going to be doing the interview. I'm not going to be questioned like I've been questioned today. I'm going to be the one that tries to pull information out of people that have it. First guy we're going to talk to is Shane Hammond. He's coming in next week. We're going to talk to Shane about his involvement with Olympic weightlifting and his impressions of the need for strength as an Olympic weightlifter, his training history and his competitive history and some stuff like that, things he's doing. After that, we're going to be talking to Tommy Suggs from York Barbell years ago. Tommy's been a good friend of mine for decades, and I don't think Tommy's ever been interviewed in a video format.
No.
And we're going to sit Tommy down, and we're going to hear some stories. And you guys that know about Tommy are going to it'll be a real treat, I promise. It'll be a great interview. He's a great guy, and he's just funny as hell, and we'll have a good time on that. John Wellborn, after that's coming in to talk to us. We're going to ask him some interesting questions from a strength coach's perspective and an athlete's perspective about what actually happens in the NFL.
Nice.
Sportscasters give you one version of it, right? And
right.
The fantasy version of it. I'm going to ask John some stuff that he's probably not ever going to have been asked before. And I promise that we'll pry some valuable information out of John. Jim Wendler's coming in February. We'll be doing an interview with Jim, and he's Jim and I've got to be pretty good buddies, and he's just a joy to talk to. He's just got a bunch of good information. He comes from a perspective of not only an extremely proficient power lifter, but an excellent college athlete, a genetic freak, a true genetic maniac, and Jim knows a bunch of stuff, and we're going to get that out of him. And Charles Staley's also agreed to be in.
Nice.
So we've got, these are the ones I've got set up right now, and we'll be continuing this on in the future, and hopefully we'll have amassed a body of information on our website with the Q&A and our articles that we have by myself and Bill Starr and other guest writers, promising guys that are coming up in the strength and conditioning field that are writing from our no bullshit perspective.
Hell yeah.
And then the video interview series, I hope, will make an interesting addition to the material we have available on that website. I'm looking forward to talking to all of these guys.
Yeah, with Jim, you need to have Jack and Coke readily available.
Oh, we'll do that after. We'll do that after the deal. He's real famous for that.
That's going to be great. Well, Coach Rip, let's also tell him your website is startingstrength.com.
Startingstrength.com. Common spelling, startingstrength.com.
Very easy to spell. If you can't spell strength, you're not welcome there.
If you can't spell strength, you probably aren't listening to this program.
And it's just the forum. Coach Rip is he's quite available on that forum, and there's a lot of Q&A going on there, a lot of learning you could have from other people. The books, everything is basically linked up on startingstrength.com, and also you have a new format of 3-day seminars, and there's a, you guys,
we start those in Florida, in Melbourne, Florida, in the third week in January. Our new seminar series is quite an intense exposure to our analysis of the way a human body moves a barbell through space in a gravitational framework. So we've got it's quite intense. We'll start all these new seminars, go from 5 on Friday to 9, start back up at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, and go till 7 that night, and then 8 until 6. They'll be tested.
Beautiful.
And there's a practical level test and also an online test that we'll be administering. And we will be, you can complete that seminar in either the way where you just attend it and then you get a certificate of attendance, or we'll issue a certificate that will proclaim to the world that you're a starting strength coach. Now, this is not, let me be candid about this. We are not offering a true certification. There are a lot of organizations call their thing a certification when it's not a certification. We have no pretense of attempting to offer continuing education units or attempting to evaluate your competency in this material beyond what we see that weekend. But I promise you that there's not a barbell training seminar that is this thorough or this in-depth available anywhere in the world. And we improve these things every weekend. I have a really good, experienced staff of people that are expert at this instruction. And the people that have attended our the old version of our basic barbell seminar will attest to the fact that we do a pretty good job. And I want to make everybody aware of the fact that we're expanded into a three-day seminar. We're in Florida. We're in a couple weeks after that. We're in San Diego. The schedule's on our website.
Right. You're going to be you're pretty much all around the U.S. There's a lot of traveling going on.
All of it.
Very cool. So once again, everybody, with Coach Rip from StartingStrength.com, check that out. A boatload of stuff going on there and a lot of new articles popping up there. It's really a must-have resource. And Coach Rip, thanks for being on the call, and I'll shoot you an email late tonight with this audio, and you could post it up wherever you want, brother.
We'll put it up on our website as well. Thanks for the opportunity, Zach.
Nice.
Appreciate talking to you.
Yeah, great. Thanks a lot. Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.